Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four distinguished and definitive performers who this week are going to play Just a Minute, as I ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four distinguished individuals are seated on my right. That delightful comedian and great exponent of this game, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, the one who brings his erudition to the show, the veteran player of the game, Clement Freud, and seated on my left, two who've not played the game quite so often, that lovely actress, singer, and performer, and comedian as well, Josie Lawrence, and seated beside her, a wonderful stand-up comedian and now a very fine established actor, Jack D. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, that fine edifice in Portland Place, and we have a fine cosmopolitan audience drawn from all sections of London and maybe beyond. We don't know, because they haven't told us where they come from. And they're dying for the show to start, so we'll begin the show with Paul Merton. Oh, Paul, there's a tricky one. The subject is My Secret Vice. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
My secret vice is, in fact, extremely secret. If it was to become publicly known, then the audiences would lose respect for me. They would look at me as an individual that had no strong moral fibre. My secret vice is to secretly follow celebrities around the streets. I have been through Nicholas Parsons' dustbins, and you've had more hot dinners. In fact, I know that Mr. Parsons has...
Oh, Clement challenged.
Two Parsons.
I know.
Did I say Nicholas first time?
No. You did say Nicholas Parsons.
Did I?
Yes. Mm. And then you repeated Parsons.
Oh, okay.
And that is repetition. So Clement gets a point for that, takes over the subject, and there are 37 seconds still available, Clement, starting now.
My secret vice is losing in just a minute. I repeat myself.
Paul challenged.
That's not a secret. They make the scores public at the end of every show. That's the bit I tune in for.
Have you got a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
No, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, what are we talking about before?
But then I don't have to challenge.
Oh, don't you?
I don't have to judge on them.
No, I don't know.
You don't know. All I tell you, though, because the audience enjoyed your interruption, we give you a bonus point for that. But Clement was interrupted, so he keeps the subject, having got a point for being interrupted, and there are 32 seconds still available, Clement. My secret vice, starting now.
I am a definitive player of this game, as anyone who's heard the results after 60 minutes, or is it only half an hour, will have noticed. I think...
Clement challenged.
Somebody should have challenged.
Yeah, I know.
That would involve listening.
I think they're somewhat inhibited by your presence and your gravitas that you bring to the show. So you actually pressed your own buzzer. So you've got a challenge for yourself?
Being boring.
Well, if we start challenging for being boring, the whole show will sound like...
Well, all right.
And you wouldn't be safe, I can tell you that.
I can tell you this, you're on form tonight, Paul. Josie, what is your challenge?
I'm going to challenge him because he wants somebody to.
Well, I can't give you a point for that. The whole thing would go... But he did hesitate. And,
yes,
and
he hesitated.
Yes, right. Josie.
That's what he
You
did.
Have the subject. You have my secret advice. Not mine. You have that subject of my secret. And you have 21 seconds, starting now.
I have many vices. I like smoking, drinking, parties, bathing in tubs of melted chocolate. But my secret vice I keep under my bed. I take it out, I put it onto a table, and I clamp my boyfriend's head with it. I love my vice, but I have to keep it secret, else people would think it was strange.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Josie Lawrence. Josie has two at the end of the round. Clement has two. Paul has one. Jack has yet to score. In fact, he's yet to speak, actually, but wait till it happens. So, Josie, we'd like you to start the next round, and the subject is dinner ladies. Will you tell us something about dinner, ladies, in just a minute, starting now?
My school dinners were... Oh, bugger. my heart is beating.
Even though it's an exotically named local dish.
Strange name for a dinner lady, but... Yes. Clement, your challenge.
Hesitation?
Well, of course there was a hesitation after what she said and did. Poor darling, you should have carried on. They may not have noticed it.
I know.
Clement, you've got the subject. The dinner ladies. 57 seconds, starting now.
Pretty well anyone who has a title and serves school meals could be called a dinner lady. I prefer calling them dinner women. I think that's about all.
A natural conclusion.
A natural conclusion.
Hesitation.
I think he was waiting for a laugh that didn't come, actually. But, Paul, pause, therefore, hesitation. 47 seconds still available.
Is my buzzer working?
It is, Jack, okay. But don't worry. You'll be in there mentioning.
I will try.
Dinner ladies, with you, Paul, and 47 seconds starting now.
It was a sitcom written by Victoria Wood that was very popular about 6 or 7 years ago. Dinner ladies, it had a whole host of female actresses appear in it. I don't think Josie actually was in it, but she should have been.
Clement, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't be a female actress. I mean, you are naturally, if you're a female...
An actress. Yeah, that's logical, isn't it?
Yeah.
So deviation from correct and... English as we want to speak it and understand it. 38 seconds are still available, Clement, with dinner ladies for you starting now.
Victoria Wood wrote this, and it was a brilliant series. Took place about 6 or 7 years ago, and I never missed watching it. I do...
Josie Chance.
I think it was a bit of a hesitation there.
There was a bit of a hesitation.
There's certainly a strong sense of deja vu. No. I found myself agreeing with every word you said.
Josie, you have another point. 27 seconds available. Dinner ladies, starting now.
The hall where we used to eat our school dinners usually smelled...
Jack, you've challenged.
That was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
You did. You said yes.
And he was closest to you and he heard it strongest.
It's a hesitation.
So, Jack, you're in there?
I'm just glad that people now know I'm still in the building.
I think your presence was felt even though we didn't hear your voice.
Good. Pleased to hear it.
24 seconds available. Dinner ladies, with you, Jack, starting now.
Dinner ladies get a bad press, usually because they cook disgusting food. I used to know a dinner lady at the school that I went to who only used to make... that was kind of what you did before.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, that's
Thank
not...
Thank you, that makes me feel better. Mm.
It was an um.
An yes. 13 seconds. Dinner ladies with you starting now.
My favourite dinner lady was called Betty. She had a purple rinse and wore a sort of paper... back.
Four times.
Sort of hesitation.
Yes,
hesitation.
It was.
Yes. Dinner ladies is with you now, Paul. 9 seconds available. Starting now.
The dinner lady at school that I loved above all others was Mrs. King. She was a beautiful woman and her handling of the potatoes was soup.
So there, Paul was speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's now equal in the lead with Josie and Clement. They've all got 4 points. Jack's on one, and Clement, it's your turn to begin. We'd like you to start this subject, and the subject is charisma. Will you tell us something about charisma? In just a minute, starting now.
Charisma is the 25th of December. Being charismatic deals with the 23rd, 4th, 6th, and 7th. It also actually describes someone who is special, not like the rest of us, but one who shines, who has a resplendent feature, a singularly brilliant appreciation.
Jack, you're challenged.
I think it's a deviation from the truth, apart from anything.
I think it's hesitation, don't you, Jack?
I was hesitation, but I'm picking him up on deviation Nick. There was a whole host of problems with what he was saying.
No. So what is your actual challenge then, Jack?
Well, it was deviation, because he said that we don't have charisma, and I've got a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where?
You just can't always see it.
And you're now going to display it, Jack, with 33 seconds to go on charisma, starting now.
Charisma is one of those things that is not possible to fully describe or put your finger on. You know...
Clement challenge.
Two fullies?
fully describe and fully put your finger on.
Did I really?
Yes, you really did.
Well, there you go.
And I know you haven't played it much, but I still have to...
I think you find I said it charismatically, though.
Give Jack a bonus point for that last remark of yours. It's worth it. Clement, you have a point and you have charisma back with you. With 26 seconds available, starting now.
I think to be fully challenging about charisma means knowing what it is about, which none of us do, because all of us repeat.
Yes.
There was two us's.
That's
there.
Right, yes.
If you wait for one us, and suddenly you get two along
the way.
15 seconds for you, Josie, on charisma, starting now.
It's the X factor. It's the certain je ne sais quoi. When somebody walks into the room, they can be ugly, they can be...
Paul Challenge.
A repetition of they can be.
Oh, it's true, yes. Carry on.
8 seconds for you, Paul, on charisma, starting now.
Charisma is a quality which is often put upon a performer by the audience.
Josie Challenge.
Where's Paul gone?
He didn't hesitate, repeat himself, or deviate, so
yeah.
he might have gone off into
cruel.
He deviated from his normal voice, but that's not in the rules, so we can leave it with Paul and have tell him he has 3 seconds still on charisma, starting now.
Elvis...
Oh, Jack.
That's repetition. It's Paul again.
You're making this all so complicated. I don't know how to just...
I never said it was stand-up in court.
I know. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because there's only 2 seconds to go and you haven't played as often as Paul, and tell him that you have 2 seconds on charisma, Jack, starting now.
One of those things that I've always envied.
So it's a very even contest this week, you see. There's Jack D, Clement Freud and Josie Lawrence all on 5 points, and 1 point ahead is Paul Merton. And Jack, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, a good subject for this show, hot air. Would you tell us something about hot air in this game, starting now?
Hot air, it's well known, is a substance that will rise higher than...
Josie Challenge.
Rise.
What do you call that, hesitation?
Well, just cocking it up, really.
So that's... It's not a category for challenge on cocking it up.
It's not a category, it's not a category. You can't have cocking up or...
Well, it went rise.
Yes, darling, it was hesitation, because he...
Let me finish the sentence.
That's what I said.
All right.
Might have made sense of it.
I'd like to make it clear to the listeners why I'm giving you the challenge.
Yes.
I mean, I'm accepting your challenge. I mean, hot air's with you now, Josie, with 55 seconds available, starting now.
I had a terrible experience once in a hot air balloon. It went right up, but you know that little pulley thing that they pull to make the flames come out? Well, it didn't actually work. It broke off. There was no hot air coming out. Hot air is something I find particularly difficult to say because on occasions I don't pronounce my H's or I put them the wrong way round and say hot hair. That's because I'm... Oh. I was praying somebody would stop me then.
Especially just to give it a little wave.
Oh, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, all right. So, 33 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about hot air starting now.
It was the Romans that discovered central heat, and it had been there for quite some time, but nobody knew what it was. Then suddenly, Copernicus started bleeding radiators, and there you were. The whole of the empire was suddenly warm in prehistorical Britain, which, of course, it wasn't, because, in fact, the...
Hesitation.
No, he didn't hesitate. No. He was going with a flow there.
Yeah.
Talking rubbish, but it was a really good... Paul, you still have the subject. Hot air, 17 seconds, starting now.
Like Josie, I too am frightened of the hot air balloon. That is why I've never climbed into a laundry basket which is tethered to one of these things that then takes you up into the air. It seems insanity in this era of health and safety that people should risk their lives in these hot air...
So Paul Merton again, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's now taken the lead just ahead of the other three. And Josie, we're back with you to start. And will you begin with Speaker's Corner? 60 seconds, starting now.
Lots of people have speakers' corners in their houses. You know, corners where the speakers are put. But the most impressive speakers' corner is, of course, in Hyde Park. It's not a corner, it's actually a paved area. And people go there because freedom of speech...
Jack, you challenged.
It was a repetition of people.
It's true.
Yes, there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And which, of course, there are Speaker's Corner. Jack, you've got the correct challenge. You have the subject of Speaker's Corner. 46 seconds starting now.
Speaker's Corner is somewhere where you can go in Hyde Park, stand on an orange crate, and talk about anything you want to. And people are able to listen to you and heckle you if they want to, but if they don't...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of 1-2.
1-2.
Yes.
If you would go there if you want to, and
yes.
They can heckle you.
I thought I'd get away with it, but no.
No.
It wasn't to be.
Not when you have these sharp, experienced players on the right here. 34 seconds for you on Speaker's Corner, starting now.
The location is Tyburn's Tree at Marble Arch, which is indeed on the northwest corner of Hyde Park, as aforementioned by both other contestants. One doesn't necessarily need an orange crate. Any colour will do perfectly. And all you may not speak about at Speaker's Corner is the Queen. It is... Well,
Jody,
that's worth a bit of reflection.
Definite hesitation, yes.
Oh.
All right. Josie, you've got him in 9 seconds on Speaker's Corner, starting now.
I disagree. There are many things you can't talk about. You can't be profane and you can't incite.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of can't.
Oh,
can't.
Dear, yes. Can't. You can't be profane and you can't, yes. It's a tough game, isn't it?
We're meant to be friends.
The audience will like you to have it, but Paul's got it. And 4 seconds on Speaker's Corner, Paul, starting now.
I once saw a mime artist at Speaker's Corner. It didn't go down particularly well at all.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went and getting that extra point and others in the round has increased his lead. And
he's wiping the floor with us.
What's that, darling?
He's wiping the floor with us.
No, he isn't. Your contribution is standing out. It's lovely.
I love you.
No, it's a team show. You know, you're bouncing off each other, which is a great thing. Clement, it's your turn to begin.
I love you.
Sometimes have a strange way of showing it.
Well, I never thought that would become public.
There's certain things we do keep undercover. Clement, I think we should, before we get too far down the line of embarrassment, this is a subject which I'm sure you can go on. The British sausage. And coming up after what we've just said, it's somewhat embarrassing as well. So, Clement, you have 60 seconds if you want it. The British sausage, starting now.
In Germany, a sausage is called Bratwurst. In Austria, Wiener Würstel. In Hungary...
Jack.
Oh, I'm
that was,
just getting into
that
it.
That was a hesitation apart yeah. from repetition deviation, of yeah. in yeah. and deviation from
yeah, I can't
British
give you 2 points, Jack. I just couldn't... But you have the subject, the British sausage, 52 seconds available, starting now.
One of my favourite things is the British sausage, and one of the great disappointments...
Paul.
A hesitation.
I'm afraid so, yes. The British sausage is with you, Paul, and 47 seconds, starting now.
The British sausage, once referred to as the butcher's dustbin, is something that you have to be very careful about, because obviously wrapped up inside this skin is all manner of meat which has been minced up, perhaps because initially you wouldn't look at it if it was still in its entire form. We must remember...
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a little hesitation.
We must there, hesitate, yes, yes, remember.
So, Clement, you're back in with the British sausage. 32 seconds, starting now.
Gristle, sand... There's so much that goes into the
dish. Yeah.
It may taste like sand, but I'm sure, I mean, the food standards people would never allow that to be passed. It just tastes like it, right. Josie, you challenge first, and you've got 29 seconds on the British sausage, starting now.
My granddad, Michael Griffin, was a butcher. He worked up in the Midlands for Marsh and Baxter's, and he was an expert in sausage skin. In fact, all my family worked at this place. My grandmother used to link the sausages together once it had been piped into the skin. I just said skin 3 times. But that's a true story.
Darling, don't draw attention to it. Sometimes they're generous and let it go.
I know.
Because they were enjoying your sausage manufacturing. It wasn't. It was Paul who challenged.
It wasn't me.
No, it was your charisma's putting me off.
Yeah.
10 seconds, Paul. The British sausage starting now.
There was about foreskins in what Josie was saying there. That's why. actually buzzed for repetition. The great British sausage is something we can salute. Winston Churchill once said...
So Paul Merton, again, speaking as the whistle went, increased his lead over the others. They're all more or less equal, actually, in second place, a few points behind him. Jack, it's your turn to begin. The subject we'd like you to take is doodles. Can you tell us something about doodles in this game, starting now?
I once ate at a restaurant called Doodles, and the gimmick of this place was that you had to draw on the paper tablecloths with crayons that were provided in a small plastic cup. And I found this particularly irritating because I'm not a child anymore. And I wouldn't have minded quite so much if the food had been reasonably nice or even edible, but as it happens, it was completely disgusting.
Paul Challenge.
It was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes.
I was drawing breath.
Mm. I thought you were drawing the food in and it was all regurgitating, actually.
We're allowed to breathe on this show, aren't we? No.
It was, unfortunately, a hesitation, Jack.
Oh, okay.
32 seconds on doodles with you, Paul, starting now.
Doodles are crossbreed dogs. They're a cross between a donut and a poodle. And they are magnificent creatures. They've got a big round hole in the middle and they're covered in sugar. And you take them to the book in the park and everybody says, oh, what a marvellous creature that is. And you say, it's a doodle. They say, what kind of animal is that? They say, well, what you do is you get hold of the DNA of a particular dog and you give it into the... what happened there?
Yes, Thomas.
You repeated dog.
Right from the beginning, he said dog,
yeah.
And you picked him up on it, and yeah. You've got 15 seconds on doodles, starting now.
It is actually a bug. During the 1940s, doodle bugs would descend...
Josie Challenge.
Can you say bug and bugs, or is that not considered repetition?
No, if you do one's a singular and one's a plural, so that's all
I'm
right.
I'm so sorry, Clement.
That's all right.
No. It's unfortunately incorrect, so Doodles is still with Clement. 9 seconds, starting now.
Jersey thought that I'd use the singular and the plural and decided to hesitate.
Paul, you challenged. That was definitely.
That was hesitation, didn't you? You must have noticed it yourself.
Yeah.
Paul, you got him with 2 seconds to go on Doodles, starting now.
During the Blitz in the Second World War, my...
So Paul is still speaking as the whistle went and increasing his lead at the end of the round. Clements in second place and then Josie Lawrence and then Jack D in that order. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. Spontaneous combustion. 60 seconds starting now.
Over the last 100 years, there have been many cases of spontaneous combustion. It's been rather extraordinary to look through the files and the catalogues of old Scotland Yard. There was Mrs. Betty Wilson of Tamworth Avenue in 1946, who went out to make herself a cup of tea and suddenly exploded into a fireball that took out the rest of Wolverstone. Extraordinary event at the time, and she later became a chat show host on Channel Island Television. Her magnificent performance that night shows us that spontaneous combustion...
Clement Challenge.
What night?
I don't know. It's all made up.
I take it back.
Well, you didn't take it back, you just gave him a point.
Take it back if I want to.
All right. Give him a bonus point. We enjoyed this comment. Okay, Paul, you have another a point for an incorrect challenge. 28 seconds, spontaneous combustion, starting now.
A pair of charred hush puppies lying by a free bar fire. Can there be a sadder sight than that in the country that we now live in? Spontaneous combustion is grabbing so many of our people, and yet no politician will stand up and say anything about it. When Sir Clement Freud was an MP, he was fearless. He was a member of the Liberal Party, and you can't get much more fearless than that. I couldn't resist it.
Oh, Jack, you challenged.
It was repetition of Fearless.
Yes, there was. Yeah. Well, he couldn't resist it, but there are 6 seconds available. Tell us something about spontaneous combustion, starting now.
Charles Darwin was a fervent believer in spontaneous combustion, as was William Shatner, who played...
So Jack D was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and we're moving into the final round, actually. You are a lovely audience. And Josie, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is cat lovers. Are you a pussycat lover?
I might be.
Oh, you might be. We'll soon discover. 60 seconds starting now.
Some people think that cat lovers are those sad kind of... Oh,
Jack, challenge.
I still want to...
Oh, it was a nice little purry type of hesitation there.
Jack, you have the subject. 56 seconds. Cat lovers starting now.
Cat lovers are a strange breed of people, but they do adore their pets, and I have often seen now they will put out these little hammocks on the radiator inside their house for the cat to live in and sleep in during the day. Obviously, cats like to do nothing more than sleep and...
Josie, challenge.
Sleep twice.
Yes, because you put them out there with their baskets for them to sleep in, and now sleep again. So, Josie, you've got cat lovers back. You've got 39 seconds, starting now.
He's got long hair, he's ginger, and I love him so much more than any man in my life. He sleeps with me, he eats with me, he can talk, play...
Clement, challenge.
Oh, I said...
Repetition of with me.
Yes.
With me, yes.
It's
with
true,
me.
Though.
I know. That's the tough thing about this game. Clement, you've 26 seconds. Cat lovers, starting now.
I rather dislike cats. I'm fond of gerbils. I can take or leave a goldfish. But cats are, and people who like cats, are just not for me. I'm sorry about this. If anybody wants to leave this Broadcasting House Theatre now as a protest against my dislike of animal lovers, go.
Clement, you challenge yourself again.
I didn't.
I did.
Oh, you did, right. What's your challenge?
Oh, he was hesitating.
He was hesitating.
Yes. Mm.
Josie, you've got in with 4 seconds to go. Bring the show to an end with a finale, a burst of cat-loving... I don't know what I'm saying, really. Some more information about cat lovers, starting now.
My cat loves catnip, and he also follows me.
Well, let me give you the final situation. Jack D, who's not played the game much before, finished actually in a fantastic fourth place. Biggest round of applause for fourth place we've ever had. And only 2 points ahead was Josie Lawrence, and she was only 1 point behind Clement Freud, who was in a very strong second place, but out in the lead, and he deserved to win, Paul Merton! Thank you very much indeed. Any remains for me to say... Thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Josie Lawrence and Jack D. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so elegantly. We thank Claire Jones, our producer. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very indebted to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the team, goodbye, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.